Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. I'm Melinda Lee. When you're leading a company and growth isn't moving as fast or as consistently as it should, then I'm so glad you're here because this series is just for you. Because most organizations don't have a strategy problem. They have a communication alignment problem. At Speak and Flow, we believe that communication isn't just a soft skill. It's also how your company grows. In this series, we're going to talk through what actually drives that growth, how your team aligns around direction, how execution actually happens, how leaders show up when it matters most, and how all of this scales across the organization. So your company just doesn't work harder or rely on you. It moves together. Let's get started. Welcome, listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. In our last episode, we talked about those high-pressure moments that define a leadership team. We gave some really practical tips to help your leadership team navigate those difficult conversations. And so today, we're going to talk about how when, even if the leadership team rises above and the CEO is there, it becomes bigger than that. It becomes more about the whole organization and the complexities of the organization. There's more people. There's more misinterpretation. There's more opportunities of possibility and also misalignment. And so joining me today is Sarah Frui. We're going to dive deep into how to scale a company and still remain the culture that really kept it where it's strong and what it's meant to be. And she's a fractional CMO, so fractional marketing officer, chief marketing officer, a marketing consultant. She has had over 20 years of brand experience, driving revenue, leading cross-functional teams. She has helped two companies scale past 100 million and also led in the exits of both Walmart and AAA. Welcome, Sarah. Glad you're here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So excited to dive in. And let's just start off with the first question. There is a busy executive who has stopped to listen to this episode. And so if this person implements everything that you're about to teach us, what would change in his or her life?
I think the part of dealing with rapid change and growth in an organization is learning to also grow with the company as a leader and making sure that you are investing in yourself along the way and not just in the growth of the company. I think that's where some executives can kind of miss the mark. They're chasing numbers or chasing product milestones and things like that. But the best and most successful executive that I've seen are the ones that invest in mentorship and coaching and things like that along the way that help them to really excel and grow with the company rather than being replaced by somebody who may have more experience than they do in this regard.
I love that. And are you talking about coaching and mentorship for themselves or for the people or both?
Both. Yeah. I think CEOs and the leadership team, like you lead by example, right? And as you step into bigger roles, into bigger shoes, into bigger responsibilities, you have to level up yourself as an individual. And it's really important to take the time to do that and not just assume that you can go to the next level without acquiring new skills or new understanding and having, you know, a sounding board to sort of get advice from someone who's been there before or in similar shoes in the past and learn by others' examples so that you can be a better leader yourself.
And you've seen companies scale quickly and also companies that not scale so quickly. And so I'd like to just really dive in and where that really plays a part when the CEO or the executives don't develop themselves and then therefore develop the teams. And so can you share more for the audience, more what you do as a chief fractional CMO and also marketing advisor, and what excites you about it today?
Yeah, I have spent my career working in-house and leading organizations and really helping with strategy. And it's brought me to a place now where I like to apply that to a number of different clients. And the thing that excites me most about doing fractional work and being a marketing consultant is the ability to like really see the change that I'm driving in the organization itself. I think that's just in general what I really love about marketing. I can actually see the wins moving the business forward. We're hitting revenue numbers. We had a great event. We launched an amazing piece of content that really connected with people. And so there's a reward at the end of the tunnel in the work that we do. And I also just get to meet so many new people this way, and I'm a very social person, so that's another fun part of the job as well.
Yeah. So any company who hires you is really lucky to have you because you can bring all that knowledge into their organization. And
Absolutely.
also that you enjoy it too. So it's great. Great. And so tell me, when you think about companies, they're growing and it's getting more complex. I bet that the communication and the way that it scales starts to dilute quickly or sooner than before it's seen. Like, can you describe when that happens and when it starts to dilute? Where do you see that happening?
I mean, usually it happens during rapid like hiring phases. I've been in organizations where we've doubled our staff within a year's time. And so, you know, every week you're onboarding new cohorts. You're going from a more intimate setting into like a broader scale setting. Generally, you're adding people from other regions, definitely different parts of the world in some cases. So not only are you dealing with new employees, you're dealing with new cultures, new time zones, new ways of working. There's kind of like the tribal mindset of how things used to be that just can no longer be sustained. And so one of the things that I've noticed in going through this a few times throughout my career is there tends to be this friction between kind of like the old guard and the new guard. The new folks have no idea the way things used to be. They're just
Right.
excited to be along for the ride. And then the older folks either can accept this change and this new way of doing business, or they can't. And so sometimes you see some turnover, and I think that that's healthy and that's natural. Joining a company where there's, you know, a couple dozen employees versus a couple hundred employees or 1,000 employees, like that's a different environment for anyone, and either you want to grow with the company or you don't. Some people I know really like working at really small companies, and other people like working at larger organizations where they can have a more specialized role. The other thing that I see a lot that causes friction is when you're in a smaller company in a startup setting, you tend to wear a lot of hats. And as the company grows and scales, your work becomes more and more specialized. And so in that process, sometimes egos get involved. People that used to be running things are no longer running them, and they're no longer consulted. And so I think good communication is really being aware of some of that historical knowledge of who used to run certain programs, whether they continue to do that or not, who needs to be informed, evaluating your meetings, whether that's talking to your own team or your colleagues and making sure you have the right people in the room for the right conversations so that you aren't sort of like bristling up against people where they might have thought that they had ownership of that or there should be a shared ownership on this project. But I think communication is really essential to that, and just being aware of the growth and the new roles that are coming into the business. Some teams maybe hired somebody you don't even realize this is now their actual mandate, and it used to be something that sort of fell into your purview in the past. And so as leaders, I think it's really important to keep everybody up to speed on new hires as your teams are expanding and what those people are expected to do and how that impacts other teams and departments at the same time to make sure that people aren't stepping on any of their toes and that you can collaborate and grow those projects to the best of your ability by adding this new staff so that the company succeeds as a result.
So you see a lot of when the roles are not clearly identified because it may be that as a small company, there one leader is doing a lot of things and then the roles start to get more niche and then there's not a good communication on who does what and then there is more friction because people are not clear about who does what. And
Yeah.
what about when there's shifting priorities, when companies change strategies or maybe change in the way that they message or deliver their brand promise? What about that? Does that happen a lot too? Because there's so much change happening in organizations nowadays. That also adds complexity.
Absolutely. I mean, I work in marketing, and I think that's sort of status quo when you work in the startup space. You know, when I'm hiring, it's like I never really know what my job is going to be like from day to day, and that's one of the things that I love about it. If that isn't something that you enjoy, you know, people should work at like a larger corporate preparation where things are not in that growth stage, but part of being in a growth phase company is dealing with change. It's constant. It can be really dramatic. You could be spending a whole quarter on a project and all of a sudden it gets sunset for a bigger priority. That can be really devastating personally, but like you kind of again have to put your ego aside and what's best for the business at this stage. Maybe it's a new product or feature that got released that needs to be prioritized now, and the program that you were leading before is no longer going to move the needle the way that you thought. Or deals fall through. I've been with certain executives where they sort of put the cart before the horse and have teams starting to prepare for a launch, expecting contracts to get signed on time, and then for whatever reason the deal falls through. And being okay with that too on the other side of it. And so I think if you want to work at a growth stage company, you have to be comfortable with change and be willing to just sort of put your feelings aside and follow what's best for the company in order to move forward, because that's the only way you're going to grow.
Yeah, I could see that where people just to be resilient and have that mindset of growth and continuing to listen, pivot when necessary. So the shifting priorities are friction, and then also the expectations of what the role is what you're telling me is what I'm hearing. Like what those type of changes happen quite frequently when people scale, when the companies scale.
Absolutely. And I think also part of the culture of a growth stage company is a lot of experimentation and not necessarily needing to be right yourself, but being able to determine what's right again for the business. And so running a lot of experiments, leaning into what's working, being able to move away from things that aren't productive, that's a really important part of like a growth stage mindset and to be able to move forward as a business. If you just keep running the same things and putting more money into it or adding more headcount, that's not necessarily going to grow the business. Sometimes you have to take bets that are a little bit more risky in order to grow really fast. And knowing as a leader what bets to take, when to lean in is a big part of that success.
And is this where you mentioned when a leader develops themselves and gets coaching? Does that help with knowing when to take the risk and what risk?
I think, yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I see some leaders failing at in growth stage companies or the aspiration of being a growth stage company is wanting to control too much, especially like at the CEO or the C-suite level. A lot of what made you successful before was being able to run things and make the big calls and things like that. But as the company starts to scale, you really have to be able to delegate more and more. And I think that for the highest level leaders, it's really important to be able to hire teams that you trust and that you can delegate to, because there's certain leaders that I've seen who have way too many direct reports and they're just always kind of like buried in the weeds of like people management and trying to know everything rather than trusting their leaders to be able to go out and accomplish tasks and see their plans through. And so that's a big failure point that I see with some folks is that they want to have the same level of control as when they had a smaller company, but at a larger scale, and it's just not possible anymore.
What do you think is happening? Why is it so difficult for these executives and CEOs to let go?
I think it's control, right? Like they trust themselves that they can make the right decisions, and they lack the trust in the people around them. And I think that because growth is risky, you have to have a level of trust. You need to hire really great people around you and believe that they're the most competent people to do this work, and that they can go and succeed. And when I've been the best in my career, it's when I've had the longest like leash, so to speak. You know, like people are like, Sarah, just go do your job, and we trust you to do it. And when people are sort of like micromanaging me, that's where like I have less creativity. I'm really like worried about making someone else happy versus like what's right for the business. And I think people are too nervous about like appealing to making an individual happy versus thinking about what's best for the company. And to be a growth stage company, you really need to think about what's going to move the business forward beyond like anything else and have really clear goals. I think that's the other part of it too. Scaling quickly requires very clear goals for the organization beyond a revenue number. Obviously, revenue is really important, and we have like stakeholders and investors and things like that that you need to make happy, and you have to. That's like a requirement. But beyond that, the companies that I have seen the most successful are the ones that have a very clear mission and vision to drive the business forward that everyone in the company is rallying behind. And if you can't articulate that well, and you can't inspire the people that are working for you, you're just not going to get as much effort out of them. And I just don't think that companies are successful without that.
Yeah, and how does a CEO or executive communicate those clear goals, mission, vision, value goals, like consistently?
I think one of the tools I found really helpful is having KPIs. So when you have or OKRs, sorry, not KPIs, OKRs, objectives and key results. And that starts at the top layer. So you have objectives and key results for the senior layer. So like we want to do this, and in order to achieve it, we have to do X, Y, and Z. Those are the key results. Like these are the things that prove that we have accomplished our objective. And then you cascade that down into the different departments and ideally into individual employees. And so every action that each individual, each department is taking is in service of a company level objective. And if it isn't, that's a great way to say, hey, I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this is a great idea, but it does not fall within our OKRs this quarter, or this year. So we can't prioritize this. And that's a great way to help facilitate decision making, like effective decision making. It also gives people a sense of ownership because they can clearly see a path to what their individual job is and what the company's objectives are and how that maps up and what success looks like, because there's a defined result in order to achieve that objective. And so I just feel like all of that is like really strong planning, really strong communication. And then every time you have like a weekly all hands, for example, you're mapping to those, you're talking about your progress. Are we in the green? Are we in the yellow? Are we in the red? Why are we in the red? And then trying to solve those problems as quickly as possible to unblock people so that we can become green and hit those key results that we committed to at the beginning of the quarter. And so that's one tool that I find to be really helpful. And I think just constant reiteration, right? Like having the CEO remind everybody where we're headed, what the ultimate path is, again, keeps everyone laser focused on the future. Versus I think where I have seen it kind of fall off the rails is when the only goal is revenue. And that's really inspiring for like a sales team, maybe, but not necessarily like the developer of your website, for example.
And how often do you think that the CEO should communicate it and executives?
I think it should just be a part of kind of like the ethos of the company. So if we're I typically do like weekly all hands in the companies that I work with, and having a slide and a talking point every week about how we're pacing towards the company goals, I think is really important, again, to keep people focused. Also looking at your project management tools, other ways to sort of map those objectives and key results into the project management tools that the teams are already using. Another thing that I found effective is like as a marketing leader, sending out weekly emails, so letting people know within my team and then on the executive level, like what our team has been up to, the things that we've accomplished. Because sometimes you work on projects and things like that, and it just sort of stays within your team. And so being able to communicate really well, putting things on Slack, making it visible. Not everybody reads email, not everybody like reads Slack all the time. And so hitting folks from like different touch points, I think, is also a part of like good communication. Not everybody's going to be like focused in the all hands. Maybe like they have a sick kid at home, or like the doorbell just rang, or whatever. So having like a deck as an artifact from those meetings that people can slip through the slides, or like an AI recap that goes out to the organization, maybe with a little footnote from the CEO of these are the three things that I think are most important from today's call. There's ways to sort of have like these regular like routines and rituals in terms of meetings, and then look at different communication tools within your organization about how do you reiterate and emphasize the things that are most important, so they don't get lost in all the shuffle of all the day-to-day.
Yeah, no, it's so important, right? Because I love the different approach of get them from all different places because like you said, we're not gonna just get one. I mean, there's so many times where I'm like, I think I saw it somewhere, but I don't even know where, because we're getting from messages from all different types of platforms, which is good. And also to know that people are, torn from all different types of places, and so it's good to have them communicated and over communicated in a different areas. So that's great. And then, what are your thoughts about also communicating as marketing, and an expert in marketing? What about to your clients, updates to clients and partners? Where have you seen companies that scale, effectively done that well?
I think Sometimes working with outside resources like a fractional CMO, where I can't be there all the time in every meeting that maybe I'm required to be just because of like a limitation on like hours and things like that. Creating like very clear documentation, I think, is really helpful. Whether you're working with a consultant or not, I think this is just something that I carry throughout my career, especially like working in an age now where you're dealing with a lot of remote workers and things like that, and people again from different time zones, different regions. One of the things that I make a mandate of the folks that I'm managing is that when we have an important meeting and we're making decisions, that we go back into our project management tool and document that. So even if everybody was in the room and we all, or the call, for example, what are the things that we decided? And then going into the project management tool to document that. So if one of my peers or another executive or something like that needs to check in on the project, a team member from a different department, they can see some of the dialogue and the decisions we've made. If we're reviewing documents, whether it's like a new blog post or a piece of creative, not just showing it in the meeting, but uploading it again to the project management tool. And then you also have these artifacts of like going back of like, oh, we need like a file from a certain campaign. We know exactly where to find it in the project management tool, or like, the Google Drive or however you're like storing files. But I try and keep as much information and documentation as possible in the project management tool, so that anyone can jump in at any point and kind of catch up, whether it's like, they have some free time at the end of the day, or they're heading into a meeting and they just need like 5 minutes to kind of like brief themselves on what you're doing. I want to make it as easy as possible for people to know where we are, where I am with the project. And then I think regular updates, once a week, I think. I'm kind of conflicted about like stand-ups, right? Like sometimes it feels very performative. And a lot of times if there's a lot going on, I will just say like, give me your updates over Slack. We don't need to have like a meeting about this. And so I think also being an effective leader at a growth stage company is like auditing your meetings. Is a meeting required every week just because we normally had one? Is this week a better week for us to be like heads down working on some stuff? Are all these people necessarily to be in the meeting? Sometimes I will dismiss people in meetings. Like, I need you there for the first 15 minutes because this is the stuff that you need to know. And then after that, go do your thing. But they don't need to be there for an hour long call. They really just need the quick brief at the beginning. And then some of the more like in the weeds stuff can happen. That's helpful to be collaborative in a meeting versus sort of like stand and deliver. And so I think that's another thing to be mindful of, like when you're limited on time and resources, is how do we sort of like cut through unnecessary calls and make sure that information is clearly and easily accessible to update stakeholders.
So knowing when to have a conversation and knowing and then documenting things that are important to pass to others. Is that what you say? Yeah, just so that people, if they're not on the call, if you don't have a call, that at least it's documented somewhere, at least the important core processes, right?
And tagging people too, right? If they can't be in a meeting, they're double booked, or they just don't have time to attend for whatever reason, but there's something that's important and you're working in like Google Docs or again, like a project management tool or something like that, like directly tagging people in the piece that's important to them. So like if I have like 5 minutes and I go into my inbox, Sarah, you need to look at X, Y, and Z. Like I know what's important from my team or my colleagues to use my attention and vice versa. I try and do that for them and just again, to save people time from like digging through materials and stuff like that. But like, is this paragraph up to your standards? Is this quote work? Is this event budget meet, what we discuss, whatever the thing is? So it's really clear that people can be decisive quickly.
That's so important. And so can if you think about the companies that have scaled effectively and those that have scaled slowly, like what are some of the key attributes, maybe like pillars that made it successful and not as successful? Can you just
I would say at a high level, kind of what I was talking about earlier in our conversation of like the ability to delegate versus micromanage and feeling like as a leader that you need to be involved in every decision in order for it to be a good one. So there's a lot of trust that I think high growth companies have. The ability to hire well and to hire within your cultural values. I think some people write values, they put them on their website and they kind of call it a day, and then other companies actually live their values and they hire for their values, and they and culture is like an essential part of the business. And I think that when you have a really strong culture, you have a really strong workforce. And when you lack culture, it's a lot more people that are just sort of like showing up for the paycheck, for the job. They're less inspired, they're less motivated, and I think you get less out of them. It's not that they're less talented, but I think that people that have the same shared values and live their values at work tend to just be happier and perform better in my experience. And so being really clear about your values and living them, I think, is important. Like I've seen an organization once where they had, a value around work-life balance, but then we would be on all hands calls and they would celebrate someone who worked all weekend on a project. That's not
Oh my
work-life balance,
God.
right?
Right.
So, and
Right.
that's fine. If that's really like your company values is that like we do everything to get the job done, then make that your company value. But don't say that we value work-life balance and then reward people who are overworking because that creates a disconnect with the employees that upsets people. They're like, well, does that mean that in order for me to succeed, I have to work every weekend? Maybe it does, but let's be
Right.
clear about that from a high level, that those are actually the things that you value as an organization versus saying what you think people want to hear in order to get them to join your organization. I think that, again, like being inconsistent in your values versus living them creates
Yeah.
conflict and can create, unhappy or unsettling situations with the employees at a growth phase. I think also having a really strong board of directors is important. Companies where I've worked at where they have a very hands-on board that maybe even like meets sometimes with like leaders within the organization and acts as a mentor in addition to an advisory committee. I think that that can be really helpful. I'm a big fan of mentorship, as you can't tell. I just think that I'm a lifelong learner and I think there's always opportunity to grow. And that's part of a growth mindset. But so having a board of directors that also embraces that kind of a mindset, I think is really helpful. I've seen other organizations that haven't grown as quickly where they just sort of view this board as something like we give them the report every month, don't worry about it. Like I have them under control. And the rest of the execs really don't have a whole lot of face time with the board at all. So we don't get that guidance. We don't get that feedback on the work that we're doing. I think that there's a drop off there. I think having clear milestones is the other thing, right? If you just have like one big audacious goal at the end of the year, but not like a clear plan on how you're going to get there, that stagnates growth. But if you have a big audacious goal and you have very clear milestones on how to get there, and you're creating, you might not have all the answers, but at least you're giving people a vision and a path of like a way that we can be successful as a company to grow at the scale that we want to. And then you have the people around you that are going to come up with the ideas that are going to like pave it and add the lines and like get the people on it so that we're going to drive as fast as we possibly can. Versus this is the big thing, and then not telling people what you think is going to be a way to get there. That's another area where I feel like companies are more stagnant versus growth focused.
I love it. I love it. So if I think about this, these four things that you just planned out, and I think about communication as the through line across all of this, stemming from the leader letting go, trusting the organization, letting the organization know that, hey, I trust you. This is what we need you to do. This is the goal. These are the milestones. These are our values. This is how we're going to communicate with the board. Like, if communication was a third line across all of those, right? And there was communication, it was a system. And with clear standards, how are we going to share our message? How are we going to interpret the message, reinstate the message, act upon this message across the organization? How would that change? What would be possible for organizations when they do that?
I think you can see what I've seen, which is like 10x growth year over year. You can double your revenue in a year. You can double your staff in a year or more. And you have employees that are really excited to be there and are really motivated to be there. And at the end of the day, I think as leaders, that's what we want, is people to feel empowered, excited, and not only hitting our goals, but exceeding them. And that's where the biggest growth happens is like, hey, we thought we were going to do this, and actually we beat that by like 13%. And nobody thought we were going to hit that goal in the first place. Like it felt completely insurmountable at the beginning of the year. Like our CEO is
Yeah.
crazy. There's no way this is going to happen. And then we beat the goal. That's an
Yeah.
incredible feeling as an
Yeah.
employee. But it takes a lot of strong leadership and vision in
Yeah.
order to get there.
Yeah. Vision, strong leadership, communication. And how could this impact the legacy of a company? Meaning, how does this help the company last, even when the CEO, that's the ultimate goal, the CEO or the people are not there, and the CEO or executives are not physically there? But how does the people continue to drive the company growth and the legacy?
I think in today's society, change is going to be constant,
Yeah.
right? And so if you don't have a growth mindset and you're not open to new ideas of how to do the business, new product lines that you can launch, new ways of packaging things up for your customers, new services that you can provide, whatever it is that your business is, you have to always be thinking with a growth mindset if you just want to continue to perfect one way of doing things. I think that that is going to stifle growth. And so having that legacy of always pushing forward, always wanting more, never being satisfied, always being hungry, that's what's going to leave like a legacy of growth for your organization. And I think status quo is what leads to like stagnation, is when you're like, oh, this is good enough. And maybe for some organizations that is. Not everybody has to be rapid growth, rocket ship, striving to be a unicorn in the startup world. But knowing what's important for your business.
Yeah.
And I think that's just going back to having a very clear vision. Your legacy should be around that, is really knowing what's best for the company and having everybody be able to rally around that.
I love it. And so there's a busy leader out there and they're growing, it's getting more complex, more noise, more people. What would be that one takeaway or shift that you can support them with to help them be more consistent and clear?
I mean, I often come in to lead really complex projects across the organization that are marketing centric and require a lot of communication, a lot of interdepartmental work. And so, for folks that are looking to, enhance their marketing strategy, improve how their brand is being implemented in the world, hitting ambitious revenue goals, those are the kind of things that I come in is to lead really ambitious projects, from a strategic or a brand focused mindset. And now also, with the layer of AI added on to it, of what can we automate in order to make this more efficient and more effective for the organization to help scale it as quickly as possible.
Love it. And so, how would this person get a hold of you for fractional CMO services, marketing advisory?
Yeah, I have a website. It's sarahfrui.com. And then also, I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm the only Sarah Frui out there, so I'm pretty easy to find.
There you go. Sarah Frui. Thank you so much, Sarah. I've learned so much in terms of how to scale while still keeping the culture that built it. It was really good to hear your experience and thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, it's great. I love talking to
Yes, thank you so much. And
you.
thank you, audience, for being here. I trust that you got the takeaway that you needed. And I've learned today that it's not the growth that really breaks companies. It's more about having the consistency with both your communication, your vision, your milestones, your shared values, staying consistent as you scale. That's what's going to help you. And so in our last episode of this series, we're going to take this a next step further and talk about why companies that have a communication, culture communication, that's how it lasts. And so stay tuned for that. Can't wait. Until next time, keep communicating what matters so your people move together. Thank you. Bye. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Strong organizations just don't work harder. They move together with clarity and purpose. When your leaders align around vision and revenue, they communicate with credibility, they create an accountability system for execution, and build a culture where this communication is consistent, something powerful happens. Momentum builds. Not because your leaders are trying harder, but because everyone understands how to move in the same direction. It's a beautiful thing, and that is what the Legacy Growth System is designed to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's purposeful, it's intentional. And if you're curious how your organization currently operates, I've created a reflective diagnostic tool. It will help you see so much more clearly of what is happening inside. It's called the Communication Dynamic Profile, and it reveals how your organization moves from vision to execution and how the alignment flows and where it may be breaking down. You can access it in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. Until next time, keep speaking with clarity, confidence, and flow.